Episode 152 of the Volunteer Youth Worker Podcast. Welcome back. And if this is your first time, it's so good to have you. We started this podcast a while ago all about trying to encourage and equip you, the volunteer youth worker. If you've got a small group of students that you pour into, you show up at a youth ministry on a semi-regular basis, hopefully a weekly basis, we really do believe that you're making an eternal difference, and we want to answer the practical questions that sometimes pop into your mind, but maybe you don't feel like there's a great outlet that you can get them answered, or maybe it's just, hey, it's a great question that maybe you weren't quite thinking about, but as we get a chance to unpack the answers, it can be something that's helpful for you in your ministry. Now, my name's Jeremy, and if you've been listening lately to this podcast, you've heard lots of our conversations that I've gotten to have with Sid and Lisette from our team, but over the course of the couple of years that we've been running this podcast, a lot of times we enjoy inviting some of our friends to the conversation, inviting other youth workers that we know to share some of their stories, if they're experts in their field. And so we'll continue to do that over the course of this podcast as you keep listening. And so we would love, of course, for you to subscribe and to be a part of this conversation on a weekly basis. So that's today. Today, you are going to get a chance to hear from Kiera, from Colin, from Danelle. These three youth workers are incredible friends of the podcast and our organization, Youth Worker Community. They are Canadians, so they're three from across our country, from BC, Alberta, and then Ontario. And their expertise is going to come through as they get to do local church youth ministry, and in particular, talk about this important conversation about working with junior hires. Now, I hope this is going to be helpful for you. If you are a senior high, if you're a high school small group leader, you can still certainly take some great ideas from this. But interestingly enough, the day before they recorded, I got a text from a youth worker who was new into the ministry and was just really interested about, is there any resources that you have specifically for working with middle school students? And when you think about middle school or junior high, these two words that I kind of use interchangeably, it's such a unique time for students developmentally, socially, emotionally. And so for you, if you're working with that group, you're going to get some great ideas from this conversation, but we would also love to hear from you if you've got even more specific questions about ministering to the students that are in your group. In fact, no matter where you're at, no matter what your ministry is, if you want us to tackle a particular conversation, we want to hear from you. It's one of the best ways that we can plan out future podcasts is by hearing directly for those of you that are in the front lines of ministry. So I drop my email in the show notes. You can take a look there and fire me a note, and I would love to find an expert to answer your youth ministry question. But for right now, let's jump into today's conversation all about thriving in junior high ministry.
Welcome to the Volunteer Youth Worker Podcast. Youth ministries rise and fall on the volunteers. So we are here to encourage and equip you. Join the conversation as we tackle the practical questions you are asking so you can help the next generation know Jesus.
Hey, what is up, Volunteer Youth Worker Podcast community? My name is Kiera, and I work out of Sherwood Park, Alberta. I am the senior high youth pastor here, but have the pleasure of also hanging out with our junior high kids every week. And I got a couple of guys on this call with me, well, let's call it this podcast with me, who also love junior high ministry. So why don't you introduce yourself, guys?
Yeah, absolutely. My name is Colin. I am a junior youth associate at a church out in Surrey, BC. Like what I can see outside, it's not raining, and that's great. But yeah, I absolutely love working with junior high students, and just super, super pumped about this conversation with you guys.
What's up, everyone? My name is Danelle. I am in Ontario, in Barrie, actually. I work at Connexus Church as the student ministry director, so I oversee junior high and senior high here.
Nice. All right. Well, as we kind of briefly introduced, today we are talking all things junior high ministry. We're going to be answering questions like, why even bother do junior high ministry? Because it is crazy, it is loud, it is messy, you know. And so if you are listening to this podcast and you know a discouraged junior high youth worker, you need to send it their way. And you need to say, hey, you got to listen to this, tune into this conversation. It is a good one.
Yeah. We also want to say thank you. Like, thank you so much for taking time to listen to this podcast. It's clearly you have a heart for junior high. Not everyone is called to junior high ministry. They are definitely not the easiest group of kids to minister to, but it takes a special someone, and you're that person. So thank you so much for allowing God to use you and to speak into you as you pour into students every single week. So thank you.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, we're just so thankful for you guys and the work that you're doing. And, you know, as we jump into this conversation, I think we want to, of course, share our hearts, but then get very practical as well. So the way that we're going to be actually framing this conversation is that we're going to be talking about four key behaviors or four key attitudes that we can actually embody in our junior high ministries. And I know for us anyways, in our context at Village, we've been working with Sid Coop and Jeremy McDonald, and they've been working closely with us and helping us build our systems and structures for our youth ministries across our sites here. And this is something that we acquired from them. So shout out to you guys. We love you both. But these four key attitudes, essentially, we want to be able to model these as leaders. And essentially, we want to see this embodied in our youth ministries. And it's funny, these four key attitudes, like, I mean, basically, they're just discipleship attitudes. We're actually basically just modeling Christianity. What does it mean to follow Jesus? But what we're going to do is we're going to dive into all four of them. And I'll start off with the first one. Well, I mean, I'll mention all four. So the four key attitudes or four key behaviors are play, pray, teach, and reach. So what we're going to do is we're actually going to dive into the first one, which is play. Now, I think specifically with junior high, this is like a key attitude that like really stands out. I don't know about you guys, but this thing just like...
Oh, yeah.
It just totally is embodied in junior high ministry. And this key attitude is basically saying, you know, not only do we love students, but we actually like students. And so when we embody this play attitude, we show that we actually want to spend time with students, have fun, laugh, don't take ourselves too seriously. And it actually trickles down into everything that we do. We always have this, you know, core attitude of play. Mm-hmm. But I was wondering if you guys want to just, you know, speak into that a little bit from your experience.
Yeah, totally. It's actually funny. Last night we had a brand new student from grade six come. And she was kind of hesitant at the door, you know, parents walked her in. Anyway, we jump right into games. We're going through the night. At the end of the night, I snagged her and I was like, Ava, like, how was youth night? She's like, this was like a party, but with worship. And I just was like, that's amazing. And she literally was like, I had so much fun. And I said to my junior high guy, I was like, okay, tonight was like subpar game programming. Like we literally just did open gym bracelets, board games, like low key, no big game, not a lot of planning yet. Like, she had so much fun. And she was like, I made so many new friends. And like, they probably connected a bit during small group, but like they're connecting because they're sitting there making bracelets. They're connecting because they're sitting there having fun together and like building memories. And that's where like, man, like giving the kids the opportunity to actually have fun together lays such a firm foundation for them to actually build relationships.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and don't underestimate, like, actually diving in and playing with the students. Like, they actually do want to play with, they think you're the coolest person ever. What I love about junior high ministry is that, like, they're still kind of independent when they come into middle school, but then also, they still want to love you, and, like, they care about everything you say, like, you're a big deal, so there's kind of, like, that balance. So, like, they would love to throw a ball with you, or to do Easter egg hunt with you, or just do whatever. Like, they think you're the coolest big brother, big sister ever. So don't underestimate, like, you might feel like you're an old person, but to them, you're just like a cool, awesome, older sibling.
Yeah.
I feel like I gotta put that in there.
Totally. Totally. But like, honestly, like, play breaks down barriers. Like, we have Nine Square and they are set up the second you walk in the door. And we train our volunteers. Like, if you see a kid walk in the door, invitation. So like, you go to them, you go invite them to come and play. And like, that immediately, like, you're not inviting them to like, be like, where you have Jesus. Like, you don't like jump in on the super spiritual questions right away. You're just like, yo, want to come throw a ball around? We got a video game wall over here. Dude, want to come eat some chips? Like, it's just like, you literally just invite them to come and hang. Like, they just want to chill and have fun with you. And it's just like such an easy environment to create that kind of space where it can happen.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, no, I find it. Oh, yeah, no, I was just going to say, like, I find it so interesting how, like, you know, because like you said, you don't have to dive in deep really quick with students. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, you know, because like you said, it does break down barriers. And I think sometimes maybe for those who are listening, sometimes maybe you almost have this like sense of guilt when you spend too much time doing fun activities, because you're like, oh, am I actually doing an important work? But I think the encouraging thing about the act of play is that it is very much holy work. Like, it's not like this, there's not this false dichotomy. Because I found anyways, I don't know about you guys, but it's just so crazy. Like, I know we've alluded to it, but just when you're having fun with students and laughing and like those walls do start to come down. You know, it's crazy. At the start of COVID, we were trying to figure out ways to connect with students. And I know there was definitely some hesitation with parents on screen time and things like that. But one of the things that we do on a somewhat regular basis is do Fortnite. And I remember it was funny. I was horrible at Fortnite. I did not like, basically the game that students played was like, hey, let's protect Colin because obviously he sucks at Fortnite. And so, but do you know what was so beautiful about it is that there was like genuine community and fun and play that was taking place. And there was a leader that reached out to me a few weeks later. And as he was playing Fortnite with a student, it wasn't like this face-to-face conversation. It was kind of like this virtual shoulder-to-shoulder moment. But the student started opening up about stuff that they were going through in their lives. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, the student started asking questions like, hey, you know, when we were talking about prayer in small group, and like the conversation went on, and then they were actually taking time to pray for each other while playing Fortnite. So I think, you know, it's just this posture that I think if we lean into it, it builds so much trust. And I mean, it's crazy to see where God can actually take those conversations.
Yeah. Like who said Jesus isn't fun? Like who decided that Jesus was this old boring man? Like, I don't think so. I think Christianity, I think Jesus is a good time. So let's show that side. Like when it comes to showing love and joy and grace, like that is fun. That's not just the boringness of sitting down and listening to someone on stage, you know?
Totally. And honestly, like, we have a whole crew of kids that are coming lately to our youth ministry, which is a whole nother radical, cool story of God. But none of them know Jesus, like literally none of them know Jesus. And so even last night we got to small group time and they're like, so what? We're supposed to sit and talk about what you said. We didn't listen to what you said. And I was like, yeah, dude, that's cool. They're like, can we go play take outside? I was like, yeah, let's go play take outside. Yeah. So I'm like running around with this crew of seventh and eighth graders from a high school, a junior high in our town. And we're literally just like running around playing tag. And they like literally text me after, we didn't get to say bye because you were it, but bye, see you next week. And I'm like, dude, if they left being like sick, our youth pastor played tag with us tonight. Like that is a win for me. Like literally I'm like, I used to be so discouraged if there wasn't like good conversation or like all of those things, but it's like, no, like that is quality time. Like those kids are going to come back because they actually had fun. Right.
Yeah.
And okay. Be more open to whatever needs to happen next time. Sorry. Yeah. Yes. We need to move on. We need to move on to the next.
We got to move on. Okay. The second one is pray. And so like, not only just praying, like personally, like us as leaders having a posture and lifestyle of prayer, but also the opportunity to like pray with others and pray for others. And so how do you guys do that in your junior high ministry?
Well, so like we say, hey, it's a time we're going to pray at the very end or sometimes, and I just allow them to say whatever they want to say. I think so often we think that it needs to be structured and it needs to be like sometimes there's a kid who prayed like, oh God, thank you so much for like my buddy who played Fortnite and I was able to beat him. And like, that's fine. Or like, if a kid decides to fart during prayer, like that's also fine. it's breaking down barriers, as we said, during the play part is saying, hey, you know what? Like, you're being vulnerable to actually talk up in general during this time. Like that is okay. And then that also allows like the more serious moments to happen. Like I remember a kid who did pray for, his dad who lost his house during a tornado that happened a few months ago in our city. And like it was so random. Like boys were joking around, they were laughing during prayer. And then one moment he just like starts speaking. It was like, hey, pray for my dad, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And I was like, wow. Like I would not expect that kid to be able to actually articulate what he really wanted to, but clearly he was like thinking about it and he was like, it, like he felt comfortable to actually speak up and know the boys would be receptive. So yeah, don't underestimate what's like what can happen during prayer. It might not be what we expect, but God's going to be doing some crazy stuff, you know?
Yeah. Well, and I think there's something else to keep in mind is like prayer for teenagers is not always going to look the same way that prayer does in like our weekend services and the way that we like expect it's going to look. Like we have some exceptional small group leaders, Jody and Raylan, shout out, because I hope you listen to this, who they knew their girls might not be comfortable to like open up in small group about what's going on. So they actually bought them all prayer journals. And so every week their girls get to spend like 5 minutes at the end of the night writing a prayer out.
They
give to their leaders. Their leaders pray for them. And then they actually write them a note back of encouragement. And then like every week it's just like back and forth between this crew. And so it's like, they're forming such incredible trust between each other just by getting creative about prayer. And like, during COVID, honestly, the best part of online ministry for us was the prayer that was going on in our chat constantly. Like kids writing out prayers for each other. It was like guys, I sobbed some nights being like, Jesus, there might only be 30 of us on this call, but you are so radically at work in these kids' lives because they feel comfortable, even if for a moment, to just throw out exactly what's going on in their life. And we as leaders didn't even need to step in because a student would reply before we did. Like, oh man, kids want to show up and pray like for each other. Like that's the incredibly cool thing. And like, man, okay, one more thing before I, you know, hot throw it over to you, Colin, but like we have to be okay with silence and it's only awkward if we make it awkward. Like,
amen.
Tell your kids, like, guys, we're going to sit in silence for a couple minutes before we jump in. Let's just like listen to Jesus. Let's just like be okay not having to like immediately fill the silence and realize like God might be speaking to those kids' hearts in ways that we never know or never get to see in those moments. Because how often do they sit quietly? Like, we got to provide them with even a moment. And yeah, if they fart in the middle of it, giggle and carry on. Like, been there, but like, that's okay.
Yeah, totally. But, no, that's so good.
Even like on that note, it's just like, but also be mindful of how long you're having that silence. Like don't do a 15, 20 minute silence moment. Cause even as an adult, I can't do that.
1 minute.
Exactly. Yeah.
start one minute will feel like forever for them. So
exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
But say you're going to do it. Like say like, hey, yo, we're going to spend like 1 minute and then we're going to hop in, because they know, like even like giving kids structure, like not just like, hey, let's pray. It's like, no, are we going to do popcorn prayer? Like one person after the other, like, what's this going to look like? They just need a little more structure. And I think sometimes we forget about that, but
totally. Yeah. And I love that idea of keeping it simple. And I think for our students too, like, it's just so crazy with junior high ministry. Like, I mean, they don't have the language to articulate their faith yet. Like they're trying to process their own emotions, thoughts. So, I mean, sometimes prayer is just such a stretch for them, but it's, you know, it's starting small. And then I think so much of the prayer culture too, like when I think of our leaders and our students, it's like so much of what they're learning about prayer is how we actually model it as leaders. You know, it's just, you know, we have time where, you know, we have our students. Yes, we have, like at the end of a small group, we'll have students be, you know, we'll have time for them to pray for each other. But then one of the things that we try to encourage our teams with is that when leaders are having interactions with students, it's like, hey, like actually pray for students on the spot. Like if a student's sharing something with you, and then just automatically go to prayer and just modeling that for them. Because I feel like so often, I mean, this kind of goes into our next attitude, but you know, it's this idea, like I think students are learning so much from what we're actually modeling in our lives. So it's so important that prayer is just a pivotal part for us and just in our own practices as leaders, because we create that example for them. You know, it's beautiful though. Like, I mean, I feel like sometimes it's like, oh man, it's pulling teeth trying to get prayer to go. And sometimes it's successful, sometimes it's not, but it is really beautiful in the seed planting moment of junior youth ministry where, you know, you're planting these seeds, you're trying to lead by example. And then, you know, maybe years down the road, you start to see some fruit. Because what's crazy is that I mean, they were in grade 7 at the time during our COVID lockdown. But they were crazy when they were in grade 6. Like, I remember their small group leader was like, there's no way that this is ever going to be productive for us. But I was like, bro, like, you're doing such a great job. You got to stick it out with these grade 6 boys. Like, just keep going, keep going. And of course, he's been faithful and true and just showing up. But during COVID on Zoom, this didn't make any sense at all. But the most active prayer group that we had on Zoom was our grade 7 boys. And it was just like this, like, and we were just so surprised by like what God had done in that group. And it was so beautiful because there was this one Zoom call that took place where there was a student that actually opened up for one of the like first times. Like, he had shared some stuff with some counselors, but for the very first time, he opened up about some trauma he had experienced in his life in his small group on Zoom. And then of course, immediately what happened was, is there was another grade 7 boy that piped up right away. And he's like, hey, we need to be praying for you. Then all of a sudden these grade 7 boys are praying for this one boy. And I'm like, what is happening right now? But I just want to just, you know, when it comes to this prayer, if you're feeling frustrated about it, like just whoever's listening, it's like, you know what, just keep going with it, planting seeds, because your example and like the way that you lead in your own life when it comes to this practice of prayer is just huge. So,
and like, even on that, teach them different ways to pray. So like you mentioned it, Kiara, like about like popcorn prayer, but there's also, there's salsa prayer. There's like so many different ways you can pray. There's like if we teach them different ways on how to connect with God through prayer, it will definitely like move the needle forward a little bit more in their comfortability to do it in front of people. But what you said, Colm, like our lives is so big. Like we need to be able to reflect what we teach. Like what we preach, we should be able to walk that walk. And not just say, do this, but I'm gonna do something different. And also be vulnerable with your students. Not too vulnerable because they're still junior high. So don't tell them all the depths of what sin you're going through. But still be like, hey guys, like I am having a rough week. I'm having a tough time. Hey, maybe you can pray for me this way. Or maybe it's like, hey, this is what we can learn from the situation that I have gone through that you should know how to, like, so you don't have to go through it, you know?
Yeah. Totally. And honestly, like, making a nice natural transition here, guys. Good job. Into the third attitude of teach. Like, I think one of our huge, and I'm guilty of this, one of our huge preconceived notions about junior high ministry is it needs to just be fluffy. Like, the teaching needs to be fluffy and fun. Like, oh, we got to soften that topic up for our junior highs. But, like, friends, culture is not fluffy and fun all the time. And like, I think we actually need to talk about the things that these kids are hearing outside of the walls of the church and outside of the body of Christ in a like grace-filled way. Like we just went through a whole series called In the Face Of, where we literally just talked about the sins and struggles that we face every day. Like we went into like, man, like we talked about lust, we talked about pornography, we talked about drinking, we talked about like, we jumped into all of these heavy things because we're like, fact is, these are things that kids are facing outside of this place. And so like, we need to be having these conversations and be like, yo, this is what scripture teaches about it. And like, obviously, like Danelle said, you are so wise in like how you present things and how in depth you go into your own stories. But like, man, like if we're not going to have these conversations with these kids, the world definitely is going to. Right. And so it's like, and a key part of it is like inviting parents into that. Like we send so many parent emails. This is what we're talking about. Here's some resources. Here's how we can support you. Here's how we can. And like, I've never heard back from so many parents be like, thank you for actually talking about real stuff. Like, thank you.
I love that line. You just said like, yeah, culture isn't fluffy. So why does Christianity have to be?
Right.
Like, burn that in your brains, volunteers who are listening, because I feel like so often we try to make it so like nice, so they can like so tangible to them. But in reality, when they go to school, at work, at home, like they're just taking whatever culture is giving them, you know? Man, I love that line.
Yeah. I feel, it's crazy because I think, you know, when we look at Christianity, it doesn't shy away from the reality of sin, the reality of evil, the reality of suffering in the world. And it's kind of like you said, students are so much more exposed to things than ever before, like with, you know, accessibility to anything, just with a device that's in their pocket. And it's like, we literally just did a parent lab last night because we're doing a series called Breaking Up With My Phone. And we're talking about, you know, issues around sexting, pornography. Mm-hmm. And we invited parents into that conversation. Like you said, Kiara, like, I think that's so important because parents, not only do they appreciate it, but then they invite, or they're so thankful for the fact that you're inviting them into the discussion too. And just on that same note though, like, I mean, when it comes to personal things, that's really important. But I also feel too, like just for us as youth ministries, when we address problems in the world around like justice or just racism or, you know, things that like they're hearing about even in their schools, but like sometimes I feel like the church is sometimes a little delayed in how we're addressing some of those things. And it's like, oh man, like, is the gospel relevant in all areas? How do we actually help them see things through that gospel lens? And so like, I just think, you know, just it's not only just what we're teaching them, but like how to think about things in light of so many things that they're facing in their lives, which is huge. So
yeah, even like showing them that like we're always learning. Like I always say to my kids, like, yo, I have not arrived. Like Christ has not done his work in my heart, and I'm still learning too. And like our first question every time in small group after highs and lows is like, what did you think of the message? Did you have any questions? And I like encourage my leaders to share the questions they had from the message of like, I heard, you know, Kiara, Pastor Jamie say this, and I don't really know what I think about this, to like show kids that like they don't have it all figured out. Cause I think kids think adults have it figured out, and like we don't. So even showing them like, yo, we're asking questions so you can too.
How are you guys helping students remember scripture? Because I feel like sometimes it's probably a hard thing in junior high. Like, do you guys have any tools on how you're helping students to like retain scripture or retain any like big things are happening in the message and stuff?
Honestly, that's something that we got to work on. Like, we have a youth leadership team that's like students who are kind of our youth leadership program. They are like in junior high as well. And so we have like a scripture reading plan with them. We're going through the book of James them in preparation for our series of James. So we've got it like with our strong core of kids who like are genuinely interested and like express desire to go deep. But man, that is still something we got to figure out a little bit more around here. Like, aside from throwing it on the screen behind me and like almost over explaining, like, this is who Paul was. This is the church of Corinth. And then you like jump into the verse, like, but it's something that like we like literally last night, we were like, man, if we got all these kids who don't know Jesus, they don't know who Paul is. They don't know who the church of Corinth is. Like, we just got to shift the way we even like talk about scripture to like in a presentable, like desirable way to these kids to get to know it, let alone memorize it. So that's something I still got to figure out.
I totally agree. Like, I mean, I think, you know, as we bring that up to know, like, I think, scripture memorization, like, we're trying to figure that out. Like, I think for us, like, I mean, sometimes in a series, we'll have like a key verse and just try to keep, you know, what is a bite-sized chunk that students can start with. And there's some students that are, because I think so often it's like, oh man, like we try to tackle too much at once, but I feel like, especially like the time we find ourselves in, like, I feel like we're just in such a, like a post-Christian time where just the whole idea of Bible memorization just isn't nearly as common, even amongst like church kids. Like, it's fascinating just even to me, just, and I mean, I know it's like an age thing, but like just a lot of kids that come from Christian homes to articulate the gospel and, you know, even in a very basic way is just a really difficult thing to do. But when it comes to scripture memorization, yeah, like starting small, but then I think that like one of the goals that we're working on as a team too is like, how do we have it so students actually bring a Bible to youth every week?
Yes.
And if they don't have one, how do we get one to them? Just so that way they have like a physical handheld copy. You know, we love the analog. I think oftentimes we resort to the digital, and digital's not bad. It's sweet that you can have YouVersion Bible app on your phone, but it's like, hey, when we're at youth, what does it look like to make sure that students are bringing their Bibles? We're going to open this thing up. And
But that's the start though. The start can be digital, because like, this, they're in a digital stage. Like, this is their world. Like, they are always on their phones. So if we can start there, be like, hey, just download the Bible app, my guy. Like, put it on your phone.
Yeah.
And then do like a daily Bible verse. Like, that's the beginning. And then hopefully getting them to the point. Here's a quick shout out to all of our camp people who are watching. One of our leaders who's a big camp person, she just started doing this where she, would give candy to students that are memorized the Bible verse. And I know at camp, like, that happens all the time. Like, hey, like, if you memorize the Bible verse from the Bible story, then you'll come and get candy. So I think that's one thing that we can try to do. Like, like, I don't think we're above bribery, you know? Like, I think bribery totally works.
We're not bribing, we're motivating. Sorry.
Yes, amen. Motivating.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But that could definitely be something that we could do, even just to help students to have more interest in memorizing. But hey, I think we should move on to the last one, which is reach. Talking about reaching out and reaching in. Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah, honestly, reaching out is something that, like, man, we emphasize so much. Like, I have youth leaders who will come up to me and be like, those kids are so cool, I'm intimidated. And they, like, are, like, intimidated to go up to new kids and introduce themselves. I'm like, yo, if you're in your 20s and you're intimidated, imagine how this 12-year-old feels in this space. Like, I know they look way cooler than we ever did at their age, but, like, you cannot wait for students to come to you. It's actually your job and, like, your, like, honor and privilege to actually have the opportunity to go to them. And so, like, we encourage our volunteers so much, particularly during hangout time or game time. Like, look for any kid, go up and just, like, introduce yourself. Yo, this is my name. What do you do for life? Like, just have a conversation with any kid who you see, like, just might actually need to connect with someone, you know?
Totally. Yeah, no, I think it's so funny because I know for myself at that age, I was the most awkward, just weird junior high.
I can see that. And so I can see that. Yeah.
thanks, bro. But like, I think, it's just like that, that loving posture. It's like, hey, I'm willing to feel awkward so that you don't have to. So it's just kind of, you know, you're because I think students, they're showing up, they're feeling all sorts of things, and they're like, they don't know what to do with themselves. And it's like, hey, you know what? I'm going to embrace the awkwardness and just jump in with it. And I think, yeah, just with that too, like, I think one of the things that we try to really model is that, especially when new students, like you had said, Kara, when new students come, or even just returning students, like that check-in booth, like wherever your first point of contact is, I think it's great to, you know, have people that are there to welcome them right away, but then also having people to just keep an eye out for people that might look like they actually don't know where to go and actually go out to them first. Because I think, especially for parents, because I remember we had one event where, and it was a learning opportunity. We dropped the ball on it, but there was a new family that showed up and you can tell they didn't know where to go. And like, you know, the student was a little bit lost. And of course the parents lost, and, you know, eventually they figured out how to check their student in. But it's like, we got to never let that happen ever again. You know, it's one of those things where it's like, hey, if we have an eye for that, and, you know, we started training our leaders, and there's some of our leaders that absolutely kill it. Like, they see a student, they beeline it to the parent, introduce themselves. Hey, I'm your child's small group leader. Or if they're not the person, they're like, hey, this person will be, they lead them to their small group leader, make sure they get plugged in. But just so that way they never have to figure it out themselves.
Yeah. Honestly, like, we have kids that do that. Like, our youth lead kids are assigned to, like, connecting with new kids, which is like, there's something about a student even approaching a student, right? Like, you got a ninth grade guy who's going to walk up and be like, yo, hey, this is where your crew is. Like, it is so powerful because immediately they don't really have an adult friend and their leader, but they actually have, like, a peer who wants to connect with them. And, like, that's huge.
No, totally. Absolutely. Yeah. And, like, don't limit yourself to just connecting on a youth night or a Sunday morning. Like, feel free to listen to the students, like, what they're doing during the week. If they have a hockey game, basketball, if they just, like, like going to Tim Hortons, like offer to like meet them during the week if you have capacity, if you have time. You don't do it for every single student, but at least try with one. And that really goes into reaching in. Like, we got to really be listening to what students are talking about when we're with them. I know sometimes, and I definitely do this all the time, where like my mind is somewhere else and a student's talking to you, I'm like, and then I walk away and they're like, oh, so like, what did like Johnny just say? I was like, I have no idea. I don't even know who Johnny was. Like, you know?
Ooh, yeah.
It's so bad. But those moments, those like, those 2 minute moments when they're just like talking to you about Fortnite or talking to you about their horse that they have at their barn. Like, those are some really important moments. We need to take time, take everything else out and just listen to that student.
Yeah. Yeah. We actually renamed, instead of calling our groups small groups, we've actually started calling them life groups, even just as a way to like, when we talk to people, it's like, you're not just leading a small group, you're actually doing life with this group of kids, because that right there is like, you lead them beyond a Wednesday night. It's like, so what are your kids doing? Go to their games, hang out with them outside. Like, and we really chill formal programming during the summer and really push like personal programming for our volunteers. We're like, what do your kids like to do? They like to skate, go to the skate park. Your girls want to go grab a Frappuccino and walk around, go grab a Frappuccino. Like, that's what we like really encourage, is like that more one-on-one relational type thing. Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And it means the world to students. And I think just, and Danelle, I know you were saying, listening to them when they're talking to you about, you know, all the different things that they're interested in. And then also just asking like really good questions. I think one of the things that I've definitely had to learn is definitely stay away from the yes or no questions.
Oh, yeah.
Or like the, it's like, hey, how was school today?
Good.
Like, you know, just like those typical. Yeah. So it's just very much like rephrasing the questions. It's like, hey, tell me about your day. Like, tell me something that cool that happened this week, and just giving those, you know, that platform for that. But it's crazy. Just as relationship builds, as trust builds, as you have fun, you play games, you laugh. It's crazy when, you know, you continue to reach in what students are eventually willing to share. So
yeah, absolutely. Totally. Okay, friends, we are already over the time limit that we wanted to be. So let's wrap this up. Friends, when we were talking about this, we kind of like wrestled around, like, what would we want to say to volunteers to help them not just like survive junior high ministry, but thrive? Because I think we have a mentality of like, can't wait till we get to high school and we can actually go deep. Like, I can't wait until we get to high school and we can like actually hang out with our kids inside of youth, and all those kinds of like preconceived notions we have about junior high kids and the, like, our expectations and our limitations and stuff. And so we came up with 3 terms that we're just going to throw your way, kind of going to expand on them real quick and then wrap it up. But our encouragement to you, if you are a junior high worker here in this space, is to embrace it, to raise it, and to trust it. And so you guys jump in on that for me.
Totally. Yeah. Well, I think with the embrace it, like it's been said, I think we don't have to wait until, you know, students, you know, grow up or, you know, be a, you know, mature more to be able to have great conversations. Like we said, I think just, we sometimes use the language, and I think they talk about this in Orange, but they talk about this idea, you know, it's just a phase, you know, and it's always that idea where it's like, this is just a phase. Let's move on. We're waiting for the next thing. And it's like, you know what? It's like, no, this is actually such a beautiful time. Junior high students are the easiest to win over. It's like, you just show them you like them, and it's like, wow, like, you've already won. So like, I think this is actually such a beautiful opportunity to make some really meaningful moments. It's such a bonkers time for them in their adolescent development. And it's like, the beautiful thing is that you get a really unique voice to speak into that, and you might not see the fruit for 5 years, who knows,
but even longer.
Yeah, but I think at the same time, though, you just need to enter and embrace it for what it is, and just have fun. Enjoy just the experience. It doesn't need to be super serious. You don't need to make them little adults. Just meet them where they're at and just, enjoy the ride. So,
yeah. And I think honestly, like, that leads to the next one, which is like, just raise it as far as like, raise your expectations, like, have higher expectations of what these kids are actually wrestling with and thinking about, and don't just place all of the work that God is doing on their lives and like what you actually see, like the evidence of what you see, but just like, no, my expectation for tonight is connection, period. It's not going to be serious conversations. That might happen, but like, just being like, I'm going to meet these kids where they are at and give them a safe space where they can be seen and known and heard and loved. And like, that is enough. And in it, we're going to trust that God is up to something.
Amen. Yeah. Like, God is in the midst of it all. Like, he has called you to be a part of ministry. And sometimes it might be hard. Sometimes it might be difficult. But know that, like, you are there and you are planting seeds. And you might not see the fruit, as we said before. But hey, it's going to happen. There's a story of a youth guy who now is hopefully going to do an internship with us, but in grade 7 and 8, even grade 9, he hated coming to youth. Like, he hated it so much, to the point where, like, sometimes you have to bribe him and, like, he still wouldn't even come to the door. But in grade 12 now, he's like, yeah, like, I remember, Danelle, when you did A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And I'm like, what?
Yes.
Like, I didn't even realize that, like, those little things were actually making an impact. Mm. Like, though, that time that we had that 5-minute conversation on the outside of the youth door, and he was just telling me about his hockey time. Like, I didn't realize that that was actually making an impact. So just trusting that you are in this space for a reason. And I know that sounds so Christian of me to say, but we might not know what that reason is, but God is definitely using you. And in those moments when negativity and doubt creeps in, just remind yourself about all that God has done, all the little small things. Oh, actually, one thing that I'd love for you to do that I started doing now is creating a win journal. So wins are just like the good things that happen during youth or in your life in general. So you can go back to that win journal. Be like, oh yeah, I remember when Peter in small group, he actually did pray. Like, that's a win. So remind yourself of those wins so that when negativity and doubt does come in, you can be like, no, I can see actually God has been working in the little small things. It might not be grand, it might not be what we think it should be, but he is working. So trust God in all things.
And so, friends, closing thought for all of you, youth workers, whether you are encouraged or discouraged, whatever it might be, is just coming back to that truth that, like, the work you are doing matters so much. Like, you are doing kingdom work in these kids' lives. You are representing Jesus in their everyday life. You are someone who cares for them and who is sincerely showing them the love of God. And, like, we may never get to see the fruit on this side of eternity, but we know and we trust that God is so good and that he is at work not only in your life, but in these kids' lives. And so, sincerely, from three people who love junior high ministry and have been doing this for a while, the work you do matters. We love you. We are for you. And we believe that God is doing an incredible work.
Absolutely, 100%.
Okay. Thank you, friends, so much for joining us. We hope that you have an incredible youth night ahead of you in the coming future.
Peace out.